Hey, you guys hear me? Stop cheering now! Yeah, let's get this over with! Yeah.
Woof woof. Hi, I'm Mike Minotti, and I am a Nintendog.
I'm Jeff Grubb, and I'm a Nintendog.
And we are the last of the Nintendogs. Today, we're talking about our favorite Nintendo 64 games. Netflix is finally giving us that Pokemon Live action series we have been craving. And man, we had some Activision Blizzard news coming in hot. We're going to be leading with that in a second here. But Jeff, how are you doing?
I'm doing good. I've been playing a lot of Nintendo games, mostly old stuff. Did some streaming and stuff. We'll talk about that in a bit. But yeah, I'm feeling pretty good. I did not play as much Skyward Sword as I wanted to. I've got some review games, so I'm kind of still saving that as a treat. But what I have played, I've been enjoying. It's a better game than I even remembered.
Yeah, I've been playing a lot. I should mention that I can finally talk about some of these games I've been reviewing. Yes. Great Ace Attorney Chronicles and Nia, The World Ends with You. Also been playing a little Pokemon Unite. So yeah, we're going to have a lot to talk about in the what we've been playing section. But we have a lot to get through before we get there. So you want to jump into the news here?
Yeah, let's do it. Let's talk about the news.
All right, so just a little bit before we went live, actually. So Activision Blizzard employees have called for a strike after the response from the company to the discrimination lawsuit. This is going to be taking place tomorrow, kind of centralizing at the Blizzard campus, the main one in Irvine. They have a kind of a list of demands. There's four of them. Let's see. They want an end to mandatory arbitration clauses in all employee contracts, current and future. Try to summarize here. The adoption of recruiting, interviewing, hiring, and promotion policies designed to improve representation among employees at all levels. Publication of data on relative compensation and so on. And empower a company-wide diversity, equity, and inclusion task force to hire a third party to audit ABK's reporting structure, HR department, and executive staff. Jeff, this is a pretty substantial move, especially for a company that does not have a union, right? So this kind of organization is unusual. What do you think about all this?
I think it is. It's the right move for the people that are working there that are frustrated with this. Like we already see it. It's enabling them to begin talking about getting other stuff like open clarity on pay and compensation, which can, it's not going to just make sure that like women get paid as much as men. It's going to make sure that everybody gets paid more. It's the kind of stuff that can have real tangible benefits, but it also can be the thing that does solve to a certain extent some of these issues with discrimination, with misogyny, with the way that women and minorities are treated inside of a company. When the employees take power and also see each other as like they're basically their comrades, as fellow workers inside of the structure, and they have each other's backs. You kind of can't help but, you know, we talked about this a little bit on Games Beat Decides. You can't help but sort of feel more empathy for that person once you are in that union with them. It's not a silver bullet, like we said last time. Not gonna magically slay this beast here, but it is a move in the right direction, and it just puts power in many people's hands as opposed to a few who would not have any incentive then to change things. So it's been, and if Activision Blizzard wanted to get a union, what they should do is go out there and say some real crap like their statements have been so far, and right. Be very combative. This is how they end up with a union. So I'm happy for these people.
There's been so much of that with Activision Blizzard, this short-sightedness. Like, so there was that report about what happened with Warcraft 3 Reforged, right? And it's like, well, it had to come out because there were pre-orders, and like we had to, you know, make sure that we got that pre-order money. Absolutely no thought about like, well, the game's going to be trash and you're going to have to give a bunch of refunds. And also, it's going to hurt the reputation of that whole company and, you know, all this horrible stuff. It's such a short focus, right? So, you know, they send out those ridiculous statements just because that's what corporations should do to combat a lawsuit and book 101 of being, you know, a scummy mega corporation. Yes. And it's like, well, why do you think the employees are going to react to that? And how do you think it's going to help your case when, you know, you're in court and they can say, well, all the employees seem to agree with us. Look, They had a massive walkout like a week after we came out with this.
Yep.
So, yeah, I'll tell you what, if I was an executive at Activision Blizzard, I would be sweating.
Yeah, and rightfully so. I mean, it's kind of amazing how little we've heard from, like, publicly from these executives. They've let the lawyers go out and make a few statements. We've got some internal memos, but we've not heard one word from Bobby Kotick as far as I'm aware. And it's kind of amazing.
Right. Yeah. I think he may have given a statement to somebody. Now I'm not even sure. Okay. You know, we had Jalen Brack had his, like, mediocre weak statement, but it wasn't like, you know, the upsetting gross one that the Fran something something, the right. ex George W. Bush administration.
Right. Yes. Yeah. And just to let people know, like, that's not like some joke that Mike's making. She was actually like in the administration yeah. for George W. Bush and part of the team that was supposed to like come up with the wording to justify torture. So that's yes. what we're dealing with here. Kind of, again, like amazing almost. I'm almost amazed at how bad they look in this situation. And if you're working for them and your company, you think, if especially if, like, I saw Dan Hsu, our former boss, he put out a statement saying, like, you know, our team,
he's in the editorial team.
And he put this out publicly, so I'll just repeat like a brief portion of it. Basically, he's just saying, you know, I don't see this stuff, but that doesn't mean it doesn't happen. We totally believe it happens, and I'm doing everything I can to make sure my team of 4 women and 2 men, and then also me, feel like they can come to me. And if they don't feel like they can come to me, here's all the options to you. You know, that's what can you do in your situation other than say that stuff? The other option is unionize, organize, get everybody together, and take the power back. And it seems like they are moving in this direction. You know, eventually the dam is going to break here, right? Eventually, these workers are going to organize so many times that they're just going to say, "Hey, we should formalize this and make it work for us, and not have to be at the whims of whether or not Jalen Brack is going to be able to be a strong leader or not. We shouldn't have to worry about that. We are the ones doing all the work here. We're the ones making these games. Bobby Kotick hasn't made a game ever, so why are we at his whims?" They're going to realize that, and it's just going to break here.
We're going to be feeling the ripples of this for a long time, but you know, I'm sure we'll have a lot more to say about this on Friday. There's going to be a lot more developments here, but from one heinous crime to another. Please, that's just a joke. Please don't take that too seriously. But we have the new Nintendo Switch Online SNES games came out last week. We talked about this a little bit Friday too, but Claymates, Jelly Boy, and Bamboozle. Jeff, you've beaten all 3 of these, right? So rank them for me.
Number 3 is Jelly Boy, number 3 is Bamboozle, number 3 is Claymates, number 2 is a really long walk without water in the desert, and number 1 is sleeping on a bed of razors.
There's got, man, they still don't have Earthbound on there, right? Like, that's the thing.
They do not. No. They're holding these things in their pocket. They're clearly just holding stuff like that in their pocket because they're like, we might want to promote Earthbound if we ever actually do something with Mother 3.
Yeah, and, but like, this isn't the service. This is like this service. The point of the service should be the service. They shouldn't be thinking about outside factors like this. Like, the whole point is that this is why you're spending $20 for a Nintendo Switch Online, basically, right? Mm-hmm. Like, you know, that and to play Pokemon Unite now, I guess, or whatever weird limited time Tetris 99 skin they're going to have. Like, it's a very important part of that service. Like, they got to be doing a little bit better than Bamboozle.
Mm-hmm.
Again, I played Claymates way more than it deserved back when I was a kid. It's not very good.
Yeah, it's just a reminder that they don't know what they're doing with the service, and they're treading water, or almost kind of like drowning a little bit, and they're just trying to say, hey, we do have some new games. But I think we said this on Decides as well, where it's like, hey, if this is your lineup, just hold it back until you have something else. Don't release anything. It is worse to release these than to release nothing. It really is.
Just like, hold it off until you have at least one. If you throw these in with a headliner, then whatever.
Yeah.
Right. If it's Earthbound, 2 other games, and these 3, then sure. Even if it takes twice as long, don't do a release on Nintendo Switch Online unless you have something slightly interesting. Even if it's like UN Squadron, right? It doesn't have to be some big first party Nintendo thing, but something.
Even if it's like, okay, even if there's no headliner, if there's like 20 games, that's different.
Yes.
This is like the least amount of games they've, like the fewest they've ever released in one batch, and they're all bad. It's what like, this is such a fart. Like, I don't get it.
It is. It's awful. But let's see if this excites you, though. Netflix is working on a Pokemon live action series, apparently with the Lucifer guy, that showrunner. Jeff, what do you think about more live action Pokemon? What did you think about Detective Pikachu? Let me start there.
It was... It was fine.
It was fine. I was disappointed. I was hoping for more.
I heard good reviews, and I went in, and I'm like, this is just fine. So I have distance, and thinking about this and Sonic the Hedgehog, I think Sonic the Hedgehog was more entertaining overall.
Yes.
But I think Detective Pikachu, it's fine, and it's fine where if I put it on the TV, my kids are going to be into it, and it's not going to be so offensive that I'm, like, clawing out my eyes or something. So
sure.
That's what I expect from this Netflix thing as well. That's where I'm at with this, where I'm like, my kids are going to like it, and that's going to be good.
I guess my big concern is that, the best thing about Detective Pikachu is that they did a good job with the CG Pokemon in it, but I assume that took a lot of money, and I don't know if they're going to spend that much money on the Netflix live action show to make the Pokemon look that good. But I do wonder what the tone of this is going to be. Is it going to be like a live action version of the anime? Or is it going to be more like Detective Pikachu and more kind of like US urban? I don't know. It seems weird, but whatever. I mean, we know that this is the thing now, right? Live action video game shows because The Witcher was a hit.
Yeah, I there's a big potential here. There's also a big potential for failure. So, we'll see. I mean, if it comes out, I think the worst thing would be if it comes out and it's just like no one even notices or I don't notice. I think that would be really bad for it. But I think it's going to make a splash either way. And if it's really terrible, as long as it sort of is like bad in a fun way, it's going to be just another video game movie or show. And that's whatever.
Nintendo says that more free content is coming to Animal Crossing New Horizons this year. There was just a little update, which I think basically just involves some fireworks stuff or something, maybe something else. Jeff, I hear from a lot of Animal Crossing fans that they're pretty disappointed with the amount of content coming to the game, considering it sold like 30 million copies. What do you think about that?
Yeah, it feels like they did the first year and then it just stopped. I suppose that we could chalk some of that up to the pandemic. Maybe that team was thinking, oh, this is selling really well, we should get working on this, and then they started working and it's like it was really difficult for them. That's absolutely a possibility, but it does seem like they've been so quiet on it, they hadn't said much up until this point, and it felt like, okay, the game is just done now and they're moving on, I guess. That would have been very strange. I guess we'll have to see what this free content looks like, and if it's like enough to satisfy Animal Crossing fans. You would hope that after having a year of it selling so well and them seeing it do so well and like getting to know the audience that does continue to play the game for that entire time, that they would know what that audience wants and be able to deliver on that. And I guess we'll have to wait and see if they actually can execute.
Right. I mean, what else would that team be working on? It's not like they're making an Amiibo Festival sequel or something. Right. So, have them making Animal Crossing content. It's too early for a sequel, but you can make new stuff here. I wonder if it's because it's hard to monetize it. Like, you can't charge people for like this stuff in the game, right? Whereas like with Smash Brothers, it's like, here's a fighter pass, we're making a lot of money from that.
Exactly. Yeah, I think so. I think the big thing is they just didn't know what form it should take and like try to figure out how to get people excited about it again. But I mean, the game continues to sell pretty well. Like, it's not necessarily at the top of the charts every month. It had a really awesome year, and almost like half of Switch owners bought it, and that's like, once you get to that point, it's hard to sell a lot more. But yeah, I think you still want to do right by that audience, since a lot of that audience is people who primarily, not a lot, like a significant portion is people who almost only play Animal Crossing, right? So you want them picking up the Switch to like remind them, hey, maybe there's something else coming out and you can maybe check something else out if you do get done with Animal Crossing. The free content could help with that stuff.
Last one here. Monster Hunter Rise is getting an Okami event on July 30th, where which makes a lot of sense because you basically ride a wolf in that game as your mount. So you can kind of unlock Amaterasu from Okami as your mount when you do this. And like when you run around, you have the flowers sprouting behind you like in that game. Pretty neat. Jeff, were you an Okami fan?
This is embarrassing. I've tried to play Okami a couple times. And at least twice, and I feel like on different platforms, I got to the first painting puzzle and I couldn't figure out what it wanted me to do. I thought it was just like trace and it just wasn't working. Everything I was trying wasn't working. I'm like getting frustrated. I know I'm an idiot, Mike. I get it.
I thought myself, but I was about to like back you up. Like, yeah, I've started that game a few times, but never got very far. I didn't get stomped on the part stuck. Where you have to do like a number tracing thing.
Yeah,
Jeff.
I got stuck.
Like in a children's coloring
like in
book,
a, like
Jeff.
In a highlights magazine. Right. Yes.
Yeah.
Like it just was not working for me. And I have it on Switch. I'll try it again and I'll see what's going on. And maybe I'll stream it so people can be like, here's what you're supposed to do, you dumb animal man.
I, man, I'm just embarrassed for you. I don't know. I want to see you play it out just to see what you're confused about. No, like, I know what you're talking about. I don't remember there being anything upset. I imagine it's what was this thing you do because, you know, your life's hectic and you're easily distracted. Where at the part where they told you what you're supposed to do with the brush, you just weren't paying attention.
Yeah,
and then
probably.
You got there and then you were
scared. I was
probably
supposed to be like holding a button or something. And yeah, you're probably absolutely right. I'll stream it. And people can yell at me and say, wow, Jeff, that was way easier than you thought it was, wasn't it? And I'll be like, yeah, I get it. I'm a bad person.
You're streaming Metroid Other M on what, Sunday? And I basically just spent the whole time yelling at you, which was very entertaining for me. So that's good stuff. Very good stuff. Man, look at this. Just call us to cancel you in our chat. And
yeah, I get that's fair.
I can't condone it, but I can't really condemn it either. So I don't know. All right. So that's it for the news. We're going to get into questions here. I have a bunch here from our podcast producers. If you want to ask a question, you can send it in a super chat and we will also get to it. So let's just dive into these.
Yeah,
from Matt. Okay. Do you think games like the new WarioWare, Mario Party Superstars and the Advance Wars remake were developed during the pandemic to fill holes in Nintendo's schedule?
I don't know. I don't think so. I think that the like Mario Party Superstars, I guess some of them feel like they might have that vibe about them. But I think most of this is just normal development continuing as usual. I think this is Nintendo has always made these kind of games on. They were just on 3DS and DS, right? These were their handheld games in a lot of situations. Maybe not Mario Party Superstars, but there were like handheld Mario games.
Sure,
Mario Party games. And they're often like bundles or like, you know, best of hits as well. So I think this is just their normal evolution of development. And they're trying to figure out ways to bring it up to like the Switch level so they could charge $60 for it. That's what this is.
I mean, it makes sense that we're getting to these. You know, we've already seen Nintendo play a lot of the bigger cards on Switch. You already have your Zeldas, your Marios, Smash Brothers, even Metroids coming now, right? So, you know, as exciting as it was to see these series, it makes sense. Like, they had to get to them at some point, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
But this is what we were talking about. We're talking about this back when the Switch came out. Like, all of these, like, mobile or portable-only franchises are going to be coming here. It seems like we're only now kind of seeing that. I remember, like, Link's Awakening was the first really big one like that. Fire Emblem a little bit too, where I was like, oh, this is something that totally would have just come out on the 3DS 2 or whatever if that was a thing. Yep. But here it is on Switch. All right, Giggy says, a couple of months ago, I played a bit of Star Wars Shadows of the Empire on the Nintendo 64 and got to the dreaded moving train level on Ord Mantell. To my surprise, I actually enjoyed playing through it as it made me reflect and wonder how developers were able to pull a complex level, i.e. multiple moving platforms in a 3D environment, by using the hardware of the Nintendo 64, something 12-year-old me didn't think about or appreciate back then. It also made me think of the excellent train chapter in Uncharted 2 and how game design has evolved between the two games. While they are very different design scope, they do seem to share some commonality beside being set on a train. Have there ever been any moments when playing an older game on dated hardware that surprised you with a certain trick, level, or core design that felt surprisingly modern? Another example for me is Excitebike 64's Endless Deserts mode, where you can ride a bike in any direction, seemingly forever.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a good question. You know, one that really came to my mind was when I played EVO, Search for Eden, on the Super Nintendo recently. Because, like, that game has this whole, like, structure where you're evolving. You start off as, like, a little fish, and you kind of, like, eat other things, and then you get, like, evolution points, and you use those to, like, I want a dorsal fin, or I want, you know, feet now, and things like that. And eventually you become a land animal. And you can, like, choose to evolve more. If you do the right path, you can even become a human. Or you can, like, I think I ended the game as a rhinoceros or something like that. It was really ambitious stuff back then, right? Like, it's something that we saw later in games like Spore. But the Super Nintendo game was doing it in a really interesting way.
Yeah.
So that would be my pick, Evo.
For me, it was it probably was, like, Wave Race 64, the waves, the wave, like, the physics system in there. And having it feel like... you really were this craft interacting with actual water and the way that, like, and having, like, the wave system actually work like actual waves do, where it's, like, rippling through the space. And they were just, like, when you see it in a wireframe mode, I've researched a bunch now and, like, watched some videos on it. It is just a bunch of triangles, and it's just going up and down, and it looks incredible once you just add a couple of textures to it. But, yeah, that was, like, one thing where I'm, like, I was, like, impressed then, but going back now and realizing, like, they kind of got it right on the first try. I'm more impressed like these days than I ever was then about like the water in Wave Race 64. Absolutely.
That's a good question. Thank you, yeah. Gigi.
Thanks, Gigi.
Let's see how Nick Turbo does now. All right. With the release of Skyward Sword HD, what other Wii games would you like to see remastered for Switch for $60, obviously?
Yeah.
I mean, look, I'll pay $60 for just Mario Galaxy 2. You don't have to put it in a bundle or anything. Like, I like that game a lot. Just give it to me. That's the really big one here. And, gosh, I'm trying to think, like, what else is even...
Punch Out.
Man, $60 for Punch Out might be rough.
It would be rough, but I would pay it.
I would maybe pay it also. How about Other M? You play a little bit of that. Would you pay $60 for Other M on the Switch?
I feel like they could do some stuff to make it worth $60. I feel like they could. It like still look kind of. I mean, because I'm playing it on Dolphin, and so it's up-res and stuff. And I own a copy of Nintendo Doug Bowser. But it's when I play it on Dolphin, and it has the HD, you know, up-res and stuff. It looks relatively modern. Even the cutscenes look pretty good. So I feel like they could just make a few like nips and tucks and get away with selling it for $60. Whether or not a lot of people would buy it is a question that I don't know. I have the answer to, but I think they could probably get away with doing that one. But yeah, for me, it's definitely I want Punch Out so bad. So just bring back the Wii one. Penny wants Punch Out too.
Penny hates Punch Out. That's what she's actually saying. You don't even understand her. She thinks that's boring. She tries to play like Ready to Rumble. She thinks it's just like a sports game. She doesn't understand that it's all about like reading movies. Yeah, she doesn't. Right. I tell her this.
She cannot read patterns. Like, right.
She doesn't listen to me. So kind of the opposite end here. Jayton says, "What is a game you don't want ported, remade for Switch?" That's interesting.
Metroid Other M.
No, I don't know why this came to my mind, but I was like, you know what? Actually, the hell with Kirby, the one with the yarn, Kirby's Epic Yarn. The heck with that. You know, I pretended to like it more than I did because it looked really neat. But actually, meh. They brought the 3DS. Whatever. I'll just say it. I don't need it.
I guess like the Call of Duty Wii games with the motion controls.
Oh yeah, there's a good one. Yeah.
You know what? The Wii Sports
Red games. Steel. Get Red Steel Red 2 Steel. On there.
Red Steel. Yeah, it's Red Steel 2.
He did specify Wii games. We're just still there because of the last question. But
still for me, like Wii Sports, actually, instead of putting Wii Sports on the Switch, they should just release a Wii Mini and have it like basically be Wii Sports Resort, and then maybe like a couple other things. It doesn't have to be 20 games. Wii Music. Yeah, honestly, like make that a hidden game in there. But yeah, like just make that
game.
Yeah, make that mini. And then, yeah, that would be great. I think that would work really well.
I love the idea of Wii Music as like a hidden embarrassment.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, it's Shigeru's hidden shame. Yeah.
Benji Bop says a lot of people speculated that the Pokemon Legends Arceus was going to be a Switch Pro launch game because its performance didn't look too great on the launch trailer, specifically frame rate. Now that we know it's only an OLED model, should we feel more skeptical about how Arceus will perform? Yes. I mean, I'm worried.
Yeah. I mean, I think I'm worried. I think there's every reason to be concerned about that game performing in any way that looks good. You know, they'll have time to spruce it up and optimize it. We'll see if that actually results in a game that feels playable. But, you know, if they're going to put it out and it looks exactly like that trailer did, that could be a problem.
Aaron Tonsis asks, what is the safest bet for the next Smash character, a new Pokemon, specifically one from Pokemon Legends Arceus? Well, if it was one from Pokemon Legends Arceus, I'd imagine it would be Arceus. Yes, but I want to say, no, this is the last one to do something really big. But for the last Fighter Pass, the last one was just Byleth from Fire Emblem, right? So,
yeah,
like, who knows? It would be an incredibly safe bet. It's also kind of an easy thing because there's a million Pokemon and like plenty of them would work in a fighting game. Pokemon has its own fighting game because it makes sense, right? So they could. I don't know. Arceus is also supposed to basically be like God in Pokemon lore from what I understand. So, I mean, not that like they'd be that concerned about the balance of that, whatever. Just put him in there and have him fight against Pichu and it's fair. I don't care. But I don't know. It may be. I want to say no just because I don't want it, which isn't a great reason, but I hope not, I guess. Mm-hmm. So that's it for the questions we got from Discord. Do we have some Super Chat ones to go through?
Yeah, we do have some Super Chats. Before I get into that, though, I remind everyone, you can send in Super Chats. We'll answer them. Also, we have a poll. Is Metroid Other M good? We have, 155 votes, and it is 51% saying yes, 49% saying no.
So that's
it's like right there. You could call this maybe the most divisive game ever made.
I think everyone watched you played it on Sunday and realized how great it looks.
Yeah. Let's see. Oh, also, if you could hit that like button while you're watching live. We got 250 people watching. If you hit the like button, it helps people find the show while we're live and when we go to the VOD. I really appreciate that. And if you're, you know, if you're listening on the podcast version, oh, you could join us on YouTube when we do this live on Tuesdays. Yeah, okay, so I got some super chats here. This first one, the name is covered, and I'm going to try to... Oh, wait, let me just unpin this thing. Unpin. There we go.
You got this.
It's still covered. When do you think we'll see a new AAA IP from Nintendo? I think the last one may have been ARMS, and I'll find out who said that here in a second. So the last one is, I guess, not
from AAA, Yuri Delgado, right? Thank you.
So the last one probably isn't AAA, so that's what he means, but that would be like Ring Fit Adventure. But I guess that...
Well, look, when you say franchise, I do kind of want there to be more than one game, right? So
right,
maybe. So if you go by that, then maybe Splatoon's really the last one, right? In terms of like character-driven thing, like let's not count Labo as a franchise, right?
He does just say AAA IP, though, so he does...
Yeah, I guess you're right. Man, it's hard to say because they seemed okay with like what ARMS did, but not that thrilled about it, right? They put that character in Smash Brothers, but it's not like ARMS 2 is happening, or I don't know. Do you think there's going to be an ARMS 2?
I bet there will be. Yeah. We'll see if they like
some
if
point. It, yeah.
Yeah. At some point, I think there will be. I don't know. Well, it's tough to say because they took their shot and it was like, it was okay. It was well
received. It was good for an early Switch game. I mean, it sold a couple million copies back when there weren't very many Switches out there, right? So, like, it did all right.
Yeah. In terms of like when they'll do another AAA IP, I think we'll see something in the next year or two, probably. You know, the big issue is that they have a lot of announced big games that are older franchises that we are still waiting for them to deliver on, Zelda and Metroid Prime 4 specifically. And so if they want to keep hold, if they have new ideas, they can kind of keep holding those things back until they're really, really, really ready because they have other things they need to finish first. So I guess maybe in a year or two might be a bit soon. So probably like the next 2 to 3 years.
I was about to say, it might be a while. I mean, because, you know, think about all the franchises we yell at them about for not making games for, like Earthbound and F-Zero and all that stuff, right? So it's like, you know, what team would work on it? I don't know.
Yeah, that's a big issue too, right? Everyone's busy right now working on stuff. So
yeah, so I don't know.
From Stephen Hart, get ready for Pokemon Riverdale edition, and that's in reference to the Netflix show. Yeah.
Man, I love Archie as a kid, especially. I will not watch that Riverdale show. I don't need to see like the dark, like realistic Archie where like main characters are viciously murdered and stuff. It seems
now,
weird.
Now you're selling me on it. Now I want to watch that. Yeah.
My brother told me about the one so one time, and I won't say because I'm worried about giving out Riverdale spoilers, but I was like, ew. weird.
I just want to see Jughead, man. Jughead's the best.
But they're probably gonna like really, I bet they really lean into like, oh, he's actually just straight up a pothead and that's why he's always hungry, right? Like,
oh yeah,
like
sure.
Crazy stuff like that. And I don't know.
All right, Mike, you got a vamp because I'm getting a phone call. I'll be right back. Mike, I understand that you have a topic for us this week.
Yes, the Nintendo 64 games, our favorite ones. We've done NES, SNES. Now it's time for the N64. We're going to hear it from you and from me and from all of our listeners here. Jeff, why don't you start us off? What is your favorite Nintendo 64 game?
So this was tough for me. I like a lot of Nintendo 64 games, but a lot of them are just like some I've really loved playing Mario 64 and Zelda, and some of them are just like, oh man, I love going back and this is just still great to this day, like Wave Race 64. But if I had to pick one that was like that I played a ton then and still like I love to this day, so clearly it's just stood the test of time, it is 1080 snowboarding. And I almost said 1080p snowboarding. 1080 snowboarding. It is really, really still fantastic. It's the physics. They nailed the physics at the first try of actually moving a board across snow, carving across ice, and what that feels like. It is it's so good at that stuff. And then it's also like a really technical trick game. And actually trying to pull off a 1080 was super difficult then. And it's so hard that I actually have trouble. Like if I try to go back and do it now, it's like really, really hard for me to do it now. But that was very rewarding. And I adore it. I will always love that. It's always been my favorite snowboarding game. And yeah, I think it stands out as my best Nintendo 64 game.
I have a pretty boring answer this week, just like I did last week when I said Super Metroid. But it's okay. Mario 64 for me. I love that game. That's a game I played multiple times. It could just, you know, every time I play through it again, Nintendo re-releases their games sometimes too often. Right now, it feels like not enough. But, you know, every time Mario 64 is out on something new, I play it again.
Yep.
And I still just have a great time. Whether, you know, I want to do just a normal run through or if I want to get 120 stars, both are super fun. I actually think it's still one of the better looking Nintendo 64 games because they didn't texture too many of the polygons. Because, like, you know, Nintendo 64's biggest problem is how muddy those textures can look. So when things are just kind of a bit more solid colors, it actually ends up looking a lot better to me. So, like, I think there's something actually pretty timeless about how that game looks. Like, I prefer the Nintendo 64 version to the DS version, even if the DS had an analog stick somehow, right? Yeah. I would still prefer the original version.
I bought another 3DS because I'm gonna give it, like, set it up for my kids and stuff like that. And since they don't have, like, game libraries, I am going to, like, hack it. But one of the first things I'm gonna do when I hack it is put on the port that people have made of Super Mario 64 that apparently is incredible. And I'm, like, really looking forward to trying that out, because I'm like, people say it's much better than what you got on the Switch version. So I'm like, I'm going to try this to see it. I played the Super Mario 64, like, PC version that people got working, and that was great. And I'm like, yeah, I want to just have it on my 3DS. So I'm really looking forward to that, and I'll report back.
Oh, that should be something to look forward to. All right, so we got a lot of responses from a podcast producer here, so let's get through some of these. Arjun said, Star Fox 64 is basically the template to a perfect video game for me. It has an excellent blend of gameplay, story, memorable art, music, and voice acted characters, and good replay value between multiple routes and multiplayer mode. It was my favorite Nintendo 64 game as a kid, and still the one I go back to the most. Do a barrel roll. Yeah, Star Fox 64 is definitely probably the top three for me. That is a fantastic game, and it's also like it's also one that hasn't been topped in that franchise, right? Like, for some reason, they just could never make a Star Fox game that good again.
Nope. Yep. It was fantastic then. Like, it looked really good. It looked, you know, obviously it looked better than the Super Nintendo version, but it still was in that same style of, like, really leaning into everything's going to be very polygonal. But then it was so much smoother than the Super Nintendo version, and that was, like, really where it came together for me. And the characters, like, there was, like, good characterization, like Falco's his whole deal with, like, I'm the bad boy. I love that stuff. He's like the Raphael of the gang, and I like that.
Yeah, and how great are the Landmaster levels? That were so much fun. The one with the train again. Train levels, man. That's a theme of this episode. Train levels are always fantastic.
Now I'm, like, really getting in. Like, yeah, I want to go back and play Star Fox 64. I haven't played it in a while.
The first time you heard, like, oh, if you go through all those arches in the first level, you fight a different boss. You go in a different, like, man, yeah, Star Fox
really
64.
Clever stuff.
Plus, it was the first Rumble Pack game. It was great. Yeah, that was just exciting all around. They really nailed that one. Oof. Star Fox 64 is a very correct answer. Sosuke says Jet Force Gemini. We had some other people backing up Jet Force Gemini. Someone straight up asked me, like, Mike, you like Jet Force Gemini, right?
No, Jeff does. Mike doesn't. Mike's trash.
I don't hate Jet Force Gemini, but it's a bit too wonky for me. I'm sorry.
I like Jet Force Gemini. I liked it then. I like it now. There's I'll have to look it up, because I'm not gonna be able to remember the name. There is a game that came out recently that is a spiritual successor to Jet Force Gemini. I'll try to see if I can find that. But it's a solid game. It's a lot of fun. It's a good shooter. It's got the problems that other Rare games had, where it was a bit, like, too padded and, like, too convoluted in terms of, like, getting to the end. But I still liked it.
I appreciate it. I tell you what, it was very ambitious in terms of being, like, a character third-person shooter on the Nintendo 64. That was pretty nuts stuff there.
Yes, absolutely.
Benji Bob says, easily the toughest one to answer yet. Honorable mentions to Mario Golf, Paper Mario, 1080p snowboarding. He said P. I don't know if he meant to or not. I'm going to make fun of him. But my answer is going to be Mario Party 3. To me, it's the peak of the parties, and it honestly was the start of a hot streak for the franchise. Some of the best minigames, maps, and mechanics that let you screw over your opponents. There's a reason they're remaking that era for the Switch. Jeff, did you like the Mario Party games?
A little bit. I think they were not exactly our speed. When I saw, we did a lot of party like gaming at that time with me and my friends. I was like in junior high, going into high school or whatever. And we played GoldenEye, Mario Kart, and Bomberman 64, and a bunch of other stuff. We probably played Mario Party a couple times, but it was, I think it was a little bit not for us because we were gonna, we'll just play GoldenEye all night, and we were happy with GoldenEye.
Man, Bomberman 64, I don't think it was mentioned by anybody, but I would have allowed that. That's good stuff. I even like really, Bomberman Hero.
Yeah, I did too. I like all those the N64 Bomberman games. I've since realized, like, oh, Saturn Bomberman is actually the peak of that series.
Right, that's what everyone says.
But, like, at that time, I've never had a Saturn, so it was like, no, this is fantastic. It was
But Bomberman 64 was different. Like, that adventure mode just had a bit of a different vibe to it.
Absolutely. Man, yeah.
It was really neat. There was a Bomberman 64, too. I can't remember if it came out in America. But it came out, come out here or it came out really late, or it's rare. But there is a Bomberman 64 too, and I don't mean Bomberman Hero, like an actual sequel, which I want to get to. About Mario Party, I played the first one so much, and I did with my brothers and friends that, like, when the other two came out, we were like a little over it, I think, at that point. I know that, like, the other two are supposed to be better, so I will concede that point. Knuble. Is that right this time?
As far as I'm aware, yeah.
I'm trying. Knuble. I say Knuble sometimes, and I feel bad because he's a fantastic supporter of this show.
Great contributor. Absolutely.
I can't say his name. Pokemon Stadium 2. Let's be honest. Fuck the Pokemon battle part. Everyone bought it for the minigames, and they were so fucking good. Man, what a funny mouth here.
I didn't know that game had minigames. What kind of minigames for Pokemon Stadium 2?
There was one that involved Magikarp. That's all I remember. Yeah, they were fun. They were basically Mario Party style minigames.
Okay.
And they were a lot of fun. I mean, I don't know if I'm going to say that makes it the best of the Nintendo 64 game. But fair. It is funny how they made a whole like game series based off of just do the battles from Pokemon, but on a console.
Right. Like, I bought Pokemon Stadium 1 because of that. And I'm like, this is actually not for me because I didn't really have anyone else to play with. So it was like really boring for me.
Right. And that's the thing. You buy that. And you're like, well, it turns out Pokemon with just the battles isn't all that exciting. Yeah. But like at first it was just like, oh, wow, look at this. It's my, you know, Charizard actually is a 3D model. I'm glad I spent $50 on this. Nick Turbo says everyone always talks about 2, but I always had more memories and fun with Mario Party 3. Okay, so yeah, more Mario Party 3 love here. Here's an interesting one from Giggy. Body Harvest has to be one of the most interesting games developed for the Nintendo 64. While it might not be the best 3D action adventure on the system, it is a fascinating look into the future of open world games, as DMA Design would go on to make Grand Theft Auto 3 soon after. The game itself has great atmosphere, music, and thanks to a wide selection of vehicles, a good amount of variety, too, that keeps players engaged in this sci-fi adventure. This was a game that I always saw in stores and in magazines and thought it looked interesting, but like never pulled the trigger on, and I really wish that I did.
I've played it, but I did then, and I do now, conflate it with Blast Core. Blast Core and Body Harvest, I always got mixed up in my head. And so
I get this mixed up with Space Station Silicon or whatever.
Right. I get Silicon Valley mixed up with like that robot and wheels one. I can't remember the first word in, but whatever, the robot on wheels.
Oh, I know what you're talking about. Yeah. Wasn't that the one made by like Sucker Punch or something?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. It was that time. Body Harvest, I'm going to try this game because I don't think I've tried it in a long time. So I'm going to try it again and see how I feel about it.
He had some honorable mentions here, which I guess I will allow. Mischief Makers. Mischief Makers is actually pretty great. There's one I really want to play through again. It's that's treasure. I remember at the time playing it, it's like I thought that was going to hold me over till Yoshi's story. Because like they were, you know, 2D games that, you know, with the 3D models, they looked pretty similar. But Mischief Makers actually ended up being much better than Yoshi's story. Ogre Battle 64, Person of Lordly Caliber. I need to play all the Tactics Ogre Battle games. I need to get into that series a bit more. Hybrid Heaven, Winback, Rocket Robot on Wheels. There it is. There's your robot.
There it is. Thank you.
Castlevania Legacy of Darkness. You got those? No. You and Giggy. Those Castlevania games are bad. I will not allow it.
I think Legacy of Darkness actually does hold up a little bit.
All right.
Not Castlevania 64.
Yeah. Okay. I'll maybe have to look. I know 64 is awful. I rented 64 and hated it. I don't know if I ever played Legacy of Darkness, but I just assume that it carries on the sins of its father. Speaking of sins, Sin and Punishment.
Yeah. That is a legit good game. Another treasure joint.
Yeah, Doom 64. I want to play, like, I have that on PC and Switch now. I want to play through that because they, like, ported it over as, like, a pre-order bonus for Doom Eternal. And people love that one. And Star Wars Episode 1, Battle for Naboo, which has a full audio commentary track for every level of the game. That's pretty ahead of its time.
It was awesome. Yes. I mean, it's because it was just Factor 5 showing off that they could compress all this audio way better than anyone else could. They were just such technical wizards.
It's funny, like, people forget about Battle for Naboo, which is it's a Rogue Squadron game. Like, it's just a sequel to Rogue Squadron. But I guess just because it is Episode 1 theme, people aren't as into it. But, you know, Episode 1's vehicles are pretty cool. Like, I like the look of that Naboo starfighter.
Yeah.
That thing looks nice. So, man, this place is a Battle for Naboo. I'm into it. Wildfire Alex says, The Legend of Zelda Majora's Mask, because it was the first Zelda title that I felt was truly different and stood apart from the standard formula. Still stands the test of time today. Well, to be fair, I think Zelda 2 probably could also lay claim to that a little bit. But I know what you mean, especially like in the post Link to the Past world. I couldn't get into it on Nintendo 64, Majora's Mask. It wasn't until they kind of streamlined it a bit on 3DS that I finally played it. So maybe I'm a scrub. But I did finally appreciate it and liked it quite a lot then.
I liked Majora's Mask right away and then played it again on 3DS and liked it again. I feel like... I don't know where I place it in my overall, like, the oeuvre of Zelda or whatever, but I think I said the word wrong. I don't know how to say that word, the au revoir, whatever. I want to go back to it again, and I think that's one thing I'm going to play on the 3DS. Once I get this set up for my kid, I'm going to try playing that again. It's just kind of reassess how I feel about Majora's Mask in the modern day.
Mogos87 says Pokemon Puzzle League, easily one of the best puzzle games ever. Easily, the 3D mode was a great addition to the Puzzle League series. This is also a very correct answer. Yes, when I like replugged in my Nintendo 64 a few years ago, this was like the first thing I put in, and I was having so much fun with it again.
It's Tetris Attack, right?
Tetris Attack. But with a fun Pokemon theme, and it actually works really well here. And again, this was back when it was like still neat seeing Pokemon like on a console game, and it actually had like a good amount of like the anime stuff tied into it, right?
Which was rare for that time, and even like for today, even like for a game to have the anime stuff.
Mm-hmm. So Pokemon Puzzle League's fantastic. That's one of my favorite puzzle games. Kaiser Arillo says WWF No Mercy. I replayed other games more, but at the time I played No Mercy way more than anything else. Yeah, No Mercy is fantastic. All the wrestling games that those guys made, WCW versus NWO Revenge and WrestleMania 2000. I was losing my goddamn mind because you know the YouTube channel Do You Know Gaming?
Yeah,
they do like those trivia things. They were talking about Nintendo 64 games, and they were like talking about Banjo-Kazooie, and then like Perfect Dark, and they're like, now to talk about a game that's not so well liked, WWF No Mercy, and I was like, wait, what? And then everyone in the comments was also like, what? And I even like added them on Twitter, like, hey, what was that about? And, like, when you guys were just confused, they never got back to me. I just was like, what happened there? So, like, somebody must have wrote the script and didn't really know that people liked No Mercy or something. I don't know. Or got it confused with something else.
Because everyone loves No Mercy.
Everyone loves No Mercy.
People do, like, talk about it all the time. Even if they didn't like the N64, like, they're like, we all love No Mercy, though. No Mercy's great. I wish that was on PlayStation. Like, yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, absolutely. So, but yeah, No Mercy, man, there's another one I really want to replay again, too. I also found out that those people made, like, another wrestling game that's only in Japan because it was based on like the Japanese wrestling federations, and I really want to like download a mod for that sometime to try that. Get some. I think it was all Japan wrestling, not New Japan.
Okay,
I'm not sure. Maybe it was both even, but I think it was mostly all Japan. Napper says I liked Kirby 64, the Crystal Shards a lot. It was fun to find the different copy combinations, and the music was great. Checkerboard Chase was awesome if you had friends or siblings to play with too. I like Kirby 64. I think I was bitter at that time that they didn't pull the trigger on a 3D Kirby game then.
Right.
And like haven't since basically. And that was basically the time to do it because that's when they were so experimental. Like at that point, it was kind of disappointing to just get another 2D Kirby game. Like you know, there's nothing wrong with 2D games. I like 2D games, and there's some fantastic 2D Kirby games. That's the other thing here, though, is that I would take Kirby Superstar over this, and I would take like Planet Robobot over this too. But yeah, Crystal Shard is still super solid. Yami Seth says, I can't decide between Super Mario 64 and Ocarina of Time. There it is. Finally, a little Ocarina of Time love. Are we all too edgy and cool to just say Ocarina of Time?
Yeah. definitely. I think so. Ocarina of Time is right there in my top three. Absolutely.
Yeah, it's fantastic. Both are maybe my favorite games of all time. That's why I pick Mystical Ninja starring Goemon. He didn't even pick Ocarina of Time. I love the craziness and the Japanese style of the game. The game is funny and has many memorable characters. And of course, the gameplay is, for me, also really great. Hope you have a great week with great games. Plasma. You know what? This is my Okami, actually, Jeff, because I rented this game and for some reason just had no idea what to do.
No,
I just couldn't progress in it for some reason. Like, I was doing something wrong. I don't know.
I just turned it on again. I rented it too, and I actually had, I think, a pretty similar time with that game. And then I just turned it on like the other night, like two nights ago. I tried it again on my Retroid Pocket, and I was still pretty lost. I think this is the 3D one. Like, there's multiple Goemons.
There's a ton of them, and we only ever got a couple. I know there's like a bunch on the Super Nintendo that people really like, and again, right. We only got one of those here, so. It's a series I probably need to be better exposed to.
Yeah. Real quick, super chat about the wrestling games from Ryan. Aki made the WWF and WCW games and then went on to make the first two Def Jam games. And those Def Jam games are also fantastic.
Right.
So, yeah. Right. And then Matt Athias says, what N64 game should I play for my birthday tomorrow?
I mean, if you're not playing with friends, if it's just you, I still think Mario 64 is the pretty quintessential one there. If you're looking for something that's a deeper cut, try some Chameleon Twist is what I say.
Yeah, that's a good one. Try some of those weirder 3D platformers, Glover, Chameleon Twist.
Robot.
Yeah. But I would say, you know, even like Star Wars Shadow of the Empire or Battle for Naboo, like one of those Star Wars games.
Yeah, Battle for Naboo might be fun. There you go. Jake Bogdanoff, here we go. The answer for me is Ocarina, but aside from that, it's got to be Spider-Man. It had so many costumes and villains. It was the first superhero game that really made me feel like the hero. I associate that game with PlayStation, I'm not going to lie.
I don't remember if I played this one on, but I played Spider-Man 2 when they got the swinging right, but I didn't play Spider-Man 1 on either system, so yeah.
I think you're thinking of the generation later.
Okay, yeah, maybe I didn't play Spider-Man on N64 for sure, yeah.
Yeah, Spider-Man 2 was the, Enter Electro on these ones. So okay, all right.
Nope.
Yeah. You thought that they released that Spider-Man 2 on Nintendo 64?
No, I didn't think they released that on N64. I just thought it was okay. Like, the sequel came out on the next systems. I didn't play this for,
I thought the first one might have. You don't know anything about Spider-Man games, you absolute failure.
I mean, that too, for sure, because I don't remember this game at all. So I must have looked at the cover and judged it and thought like, it doesn't look
good. The cover's amazing. I hate you. Aaron Tonsis says Paper Mario, it led to objectively the best Mario RPG, Thousand Year Door. Yeah, Thousand Year Door is fantastic. But Paper Mario is very good, but just not as good as Thousand Year Door, so it wouldn't really be on my list for that reason. So,
yeah, play Blast Corps for your birthday. This is Cole Knapp. That's a good one, too.
Blast Corps is that's super fun. Yeah, I mean, gosh, any of these games we talked about here, except for Jet Force Gemini, would be a lot of fun to play. I have no problem with Jet Force Gemini.
Do you have any other like honorable mentions you want to get to? Because I just want to, like, Sightbike 64, I know it got mentioned a little bit, but yeah, that's a great one. That's still so fantastic.
Right. No, that makes sense. I'm surprised no one said the Banjo-Kazooie games. I know people say Banjo-Tooie is actually like too big. Like the worlds are too large. So Banjo-Kazooie 1 is the one to go to there. I think that makes a lot of sense. People didn't say GoldenEye. I'm a GoldenEye hater. I say it all the time. I kind of feel the same way about Perfect Dark. So, you know, maybe that's fair enough. F-Zero X is very good, but I like GX on the GameCube even better. So. Yeah. There's that. Even like there's a lot of games like that. Like Smash Brothers on 64 is a lot of fun, but Melee is just so much better.
Yep. Yeah. I liked GoldenEye a lot then. I liked Perfect Dark a lot then, but they were of their time. And looking back now, it's hard to like even say that they were great. They were really good for four players getting together really fast to have some fun together. And if as long as you everyone like sort of like honored the social contracts of like trying to make sure that it worked and it was a good time. You know, you could never do that again these days. A game like that would just not be the same.
You know what I liked, which I don't really hear mentioned in the Nintendo 64 game a lot, was Mortal Kombat Trilogy and then Nintendo 64.
Yeah, that was good. I rented that a couple times and always enjoyed it.
It actually worked well because, like, you didn't have the load times of the CD versions.
Right.
And that the controller, like, naturally kind of had all the buttons for, like, a fighting game like that. Like, yeah, to hold it, you know, it was one of the few games I held with, like, that left stick, right, where the D-pad was, but... super fun, worked pretty well. All right. I think that does it then for our favorite Nintendo 64 games, everybody. Thank you so much for everyone who contributed to that. Jeff, we've been playing a lot of Nintendo games. We should start talking about that. I want to hear about your Metroid Other M journey.
Yeah, I started streaming it on Sunday. It's been fun because people come in and like give it all their thoughts. And it really does feel like a 50-50 split where some people like despise this game. Other people are some people just say it's just fine. But there's a lot of people are like, no, this is good. It's like way better than it gets credit for, way better than people ever said it was. And right now I'm like in the middle where I'm like, this is fine. I do think the stories and characters and stuff are pretty bad, but I'm early, and also like, yeah, it's come a long way since then anyhow, but it seems like it was probably bad then too. But, you know, moving around, playing as Samus and all that stuff, it works. It works. It feels like a pretty decent... It felt like what a Metroid game would have been like on the Nintendo 64 if one had come out there. You know, definitely, obviously, a little bit better than that in many regards, but mostly that's how it feels. And I think that's totally okay. I'm glad this is not the direction they went overall, though. I'm glad that Metroid Prime was its thing. The 2D games are its thing. It didn't need a third pillar like this, and I'm glad they experimented it, but this is not what I want for more Metroid. So I'm glad I'm playing it, though. I never played it before, so it's nice to like get that point of reference, and I'm not hating it, so that's nice.
Yeah, that all seems pretty fair. Like, yeah, the story is pretty obnoxious and but like I am surprised how well controls for being a game that like you're just using the Wiimote as an NES controller. I know you don't like the pointing at the screen thing. It's been working janky for you because of your setup.
Yeah, but I thought there was
something neat about that.
Yeah, it's fine. I think once I started like just roll back and do it, and that works fine. But that's just my specific setup. But for people watching, like you hold it like this, like an NES controller, and it does work. The cool thing is like you get like the extra buttons on each side. Like, and it does feel like you're doing something that almost feels like you're activating like morph ball mode. Like you hit the big A button. That's like a big ball. But yeah, it still is. It's weird. And it feels like they were trying to force a lot of this game to work with the Wii in ways that's like, you know, they didn't have to have you just sit there and scan the room. And it also, it's not very like it looks OK, but a lot of the textures are pretty muddy and they don't ever do a lot of work to like help you understand what you're supposed to be looking at. So I was getting lost quite a few times, but that's also just me. I don't know how to play Okami.
the combat animations I'm actually still pretty impressed with.
Yes.
Like which is what you would expect Team Ninja to get right, and that mm-hmm. stuff does look pretty good. So I'm glad you're playing it though. Like I'm not saying that, you know, Metroid Other M is fantastic or anywhere near the Metroid Prime level, but I always thought it was fine. Like it's not the Sonic 06 of the series,
no,
right?
It's not
that level. It's not that level. But I've been playing a few new releases. Actually, I think maybe both of these came out today. I know. I'm pretty sure Ace Attorney did. But I've been playing The Great Ace Attorney Chronicles, which has those two games that came out on the 3DS in Japan and we never got. It's the Ace Attorney games, but set in kind of Victorian England. I like this series a lot, Jeff. I was getting a little burnout trying to review these games, though, because I've never like timed myself playing an Ace Attorney game before because, you know, who cares?
Yeah, just enjoying it. Yeah.
So I was like, OK, yeah, I'll review. Like what? This will take me 20 hours to go through both these games. I don't know. Turns out it takes 25 hours to beat the first game, which felt like a long time. And I was getting frustrated because I was on like a timeline and I knew I still was supposed to also be reviewing The World Ends With You. So I actually had to just like stop at some point, being okay, I am not going to make this deadline. If I just keep forcing myself, I'm miserable. I'm getting frustrated at the game for being slow paced, and I do think it is a bit too slow paced, even with that aside. Like the Ace Attorney games are always a bit of a mixture between point and click adventure game, like in that LucasArts style, with visual novel, and these seem to lean a bit more on the visual novel side. Like it was a lot more just about the story, the characters, a lot of the puzzles and stuff seems obvious a lot of the time just to push the story forward more. Like they weren't giant mind benders like I've seen in some other parts of the series. But the characters were still very good, very likable. Herlock Sholmes is a lot of fun.
Yeah,
you get
that's
used
fun.
To that name, don't worry.
Yeah, you know, I heard, it's like it's a public domain character, so I wonder why they felt the need to do that. But I do understand that even the modern Sherlock Holmes estate anything that's like was like slightly different in one of the books that isn't in the public domain, they go after that really hard. So you do have to be careful with it. So I guess it makes sense to just like rename the character.
Right. But he's a lot of fun. Like, he's an eccentric, wacky fellow. You know, all the characters are great. It's just it wasn't like anywhere near my top of the series. Now, the second one, I hear a lot of people say they do like more. And I've only really just started that one, so I'm excited to play some more of it there. And I don't mean to sound like super down on the first one again. It was just a little long winded for me.
Right.
But I'm excited to get more into the sequel and see where I feel these things. I mean, if you like the Ace Attorney games, probably now. Although it is nice because if you haven't tried them, you can just jump into these since they are so early prequels that you don't need to know who Phoenix Wright is and all these other things. So that's nice about it. The other thing, Neo, The World Ends With You, which I haven't played very much of because I was trying to review 30-hour long visual novels at the same time. But this seems pretty good so far. Did you play The World Ends With You?
I tried it for a little bit and I didn't stick with it. So I guess I'll say no, I did not really play it.
Mm-hmm. I loved the first one back when it came out on the DS. Right. It's been ported a bunch. I haven't really played it since. So this one, what I like is the first off, the music's great. Like, if you like that jet set radio kind, I don't even know what you call it, that sort of Japanese punk music, I don't know. It's very catchy, and there's a ton of that stuff here. The combat seems pretty interesting. Although, like, from what I remembered from the Nintendo DS combat, it was so cool because you had, like, two battles going on, the top screen and the bottom screen, and you're controlling both of them at the same time. At least so far for me, this isn't that level of complexity. This is mostly just using cooldowns and kind of timing them in a way to do extra damage, but it still seems pretty fun. The bummer has actually just been playing it on the Switch and how spoiled I am about SSDs now, because right. Like, there's a decent amount of loading every time you do a battle, and like, you know, it's not like a minute, but it's enough that it feels awkward almost, like the game's just like paused in a perpetual state of waiting, and you're just sitting there thinking about how, man, these other consoles I have don't do this anymore. It is just the Switch that I had to put up with this now, and it is making that a little bit annoying now. And it's just making me wonder, like, man, it used to be like, yeah, a smaller game like this, absolutely I would get the Switch version.
Right.
And now it's like, man, yeah, I don't know.
Get the Steam Deck version now, yeah.
Man, he might be right. I don't know. It's also another game, because I was playing the Ace Attorney games, it's very chatty. Characters are talking a lot, and it seems like a bit much for me. I don't know if I'm just like old and slightly getting over that, or if I was just overwhelmed because I've been playing a visual novel right before this, basically. But I was like, okay, let me fight some more people. I get it. But it seems pretty good so far, and I know a lot of the other reviews have been pretty positive about it. So I'm excited to play more of that one too.
Sounds like generally you like them, both of these games, but the circumstances didn't help them.
Yeah, but even aside from that, there are some reservations there. Like, I don't think either of them are fantastic.
It sounds like Jeff Grubb could take a nice old pass on both of these and be just fine.
They are, tell you what, they aren't Jeff Capes, that's for sure. Especially The World Ends With You. Like, yes. I don't know. I don't know what you would make of Ace Attorney. Have you ever played those?
I want to try. I like the Layton games, but like Layton games were like, hey, you know, a puzzle every like 10, like five, not even 5 minutes, like every 2 minutes you're going to be in a new puzzle. And like all of the talking was like very brief before those puzzles. So it was, you know, it had a nice pace to it. I don't know if Ace Attorney would have that same effect on me.
I would still recommend you play the trilogy of the first three games that you can get on Switch. It just feels a bit brisker. I think the cases are a little bit more interesting. The puzzles are a little better. All right, then. The other thing here is Pokemon Unite. I started that yesterday, and yeah, that actually is pretty fun. I'm enjoying it.
People seem to like this game. Well, they like it a lot.
Well, here's what. So I played a bit of MOBAs here and there. I played a little bit of League of Legends, a little bit of Heroes of the Storm. I never got super into them. I played like Dota 2 once and was like, nope, this is way too much. This is obnoxious. This is way too convoluted. I like it when these games actually kind of scale things back. Like, the best thing here is that matches are 10 minutes long, and that's it.
And it's not like, oh, they're trying to be 10 minutes long. It's a timer. It's like a basketball game. Like, the timer's going to count down, and then whoever's winning at the end wins.
Yes, and that is very nice. Like, I that was one of my big things, especially with Dota. It's like, oh, matches could take 50 minutes. I'm like, no, thank you. How about they don't? And it's like, you know, oh, 20 minutes in, it's pretty clear you're not going to win. Enjoy those next 30 minutes. Like, I don't like that. But here, yeah, it's like you know, this much faster paced thing. So it makes you think a little bit more of Heroes of the Storm. There's not as much convolutedness with like an item shop and stuff like that. And, you know, it's like, oh, yeah, I know who these Pokemon are. I kind of have an idea what they do. And they're going to be able to just add Pokemon to this forever. So it makes a lot of sense. The one concerning thing, so, you know, there's an in-game store, and that's fine for, like, selling more characters, selling cosmetics. But there is, like, there are items you can buy that do make you perform better. And I don't know why they're doing that. That's weird. I don't know how much of a difference it makes. But the fact that that's there at all is pretty gross and weird. I don't know what they're thinking there.
Yeah, so like the concern is there could be some pay to win.
Yeah, and again, I don't know to what degree, but sure. At least a little bit of it. And to the point where it's like I'm, you know, you feel that now, like, oh, I'm not paying for this thing, or I don't have this item to hold that my character's holding onto that gives me a magic boost. Plus, it's like a thing like, oh, now that I'm playing as Gengar, do I need to equip a different item? Like, I don't want to deal with. Just let me pick the Pokemon and go in like a fighting game. So,
yeah,
I hope they maybe reconsider that.
Yeah, it does feel like, you know, it doesn't matter if it like what the actual effects are. All that matters is that you are thinking about it, like you said. Once it's in your head, that kind of, you know, taints the experience a little bit. So, yeah, this thing is on Switch right now. It's coming to phones next, right? I was like almost wondering, like, is it on PC? And it's not on PC yet, as far as
I think it is coming to phones next. You're right, but I mean, it works pretty well on the Switch. That's where I would want to keep playing it. I was actually maining a Wigglytuff to my own surprise, but
all right then.
It's pretty fun. Like, none of my favorites are in the game yet. So, you know, maybe at some point they'll show up. I went on a rant on Twitter about how I hate Lucario, because I see this guy. He's like, he doesn't look too great to me. He's like a weird, humanish, weird blue fox gross thing that knows karate or something. Why is he in everything? Why is he in Smash Brothers? Every time there's a Pokemon crossover thing, it's like, well, don't forget Lucario. Like, why? Is there like a Lucario fan club somewhere? What is with all this Lucario representation?
I'll tell you what. When you describe something as being a two human fox looking thing that knows karate, I'm going to tell you right now, there's a fan club for that, Mike. 100% there's a fan club out there for that.
I'm sick of Lucario.
Fair enough.
Like, maybe Japan loves Lucario. I don't know. I mean, I'm sure people...
Japan loves Greninja. That's what I always heard. That
Greninja's not bad. I'll allow Greninja, and he is in the game. That's fine. I'll allow Greninja. There's something interesting there. But mostly because I think the whole using his tongue as like a scarf thing is clever. So
that's good. Yeah.
A frog ninja. I'm into that. That's fine. But
we draw the line at blue fox people.
Lucario's just so overexposed, man. I don't know. I'm over it. Give me my Vaporeon in there. I mean, look, I'm an old man. Give me more Gen 1, Gen 2 Pokemon is basically what I want. We talked about this before. We did a tier list of the starter Pokemon, and there was just a point where they all became much more humanoid for some reason and stopped looking. It looked less like monsters. I'm just like, I'm not as into that, but we'll see.
I'm gonna try this Pokemon Unite. I haven't had time because I'm playing a review game that I need to get done this week. But once I get done with that, I will. Maybe I'll put it like make it like an addendum to my Metroid Other M stream, so I can have other people teach me how to play.
It actually has a surprisingly efficient tutorial.
Good. Okay.
That teaches you how the game plays, but it's not overbearing and obnoxious and super slow.
Am I gonna learn the lingo, like the MOBA lingo? Am I gonna know when I should be jungling? Because I don't know what jungling is right now.
I don't. So one thing, it's two lanes instead of three.
Okay.
So the jungle's just a spin. I don't know if it goes quite that deep into having a jungler. I'm sure, look, if there's some Pokemon Unite pros out there, maybe. If you play with me, I'll help you a little bit. But yeah, you don't have to last hit or like, you know, make shop runs or stuff like that. I think you'll be fine.
Okay. All right, good. Cool. That sounds good.
All right. Man, I think that is actually it now. I think we did it. We got through another Last of the Nintendogs, and we're still here. We're still the last ones. How about that, Jeff?
We did it. Woof woof forever, or at least until we die, and then there'll be no more Nintendogs.
And that'll be it. We'll be extinct, like the dodo.
You want me to hit the outro? Should we get out of here?
Yeah, we can start getting out of here. So next week we're going to be talking about, man, maybe my favorite Nintendo console, the GameCube. So if you all want to start thinking about what your favorite GameCube game is, I already know mine. I think I know Jeff's too, but it'll be fun to talk about that anyways. So that'll be good stuff. And hey, be sure to check out my 90s Disney podcast, 90s Disney, at 90sDisney.com. Our next episode is going to be about the closure of Mr. Toad's Wild Ride and the opening of the Many Adventures of Winnie the Pooh and Fantasyland and Walt Disney World. And Games Beat Decides goes live on Fridays, 1:30 p.m. Eastern. So we will both see you there, too. Jeff, anything else you want to plug?
Hit me on Twitter, at Jeff Grubb. The Patreon's patreon.com/Jeff Grubb. Gets you into the secret channels. We take a bunch of stuff, like your input for this show, and you can do that. Go to patreon.com/Jeff Grubb. Gets you into the podcast producer's channel and such, Discord, as well as industry secrets. I had a new How Games Make Money podcast go up. Now, How Games Make Money is not, I don't put those on YouTube. I might start doing that again someday, but if you want to listen to that podcast, it is available as a podcast wherever you like get your current podcast right now. So yeah, check that out. I'll have another new episode coming up pretty soon where I talk to the Able Gamers people about trying to teach people to like make games more adaptive and everything. So yeah, that's it for me though.
Awesome. I am Tokoto on Twitter. I should have said that. So, all right. Thanks, everyone. We'll see you next time.
Bye.
Oh my God! A phone call? What? Since when do you listen to your phone? I text you all the time. You never read it. Maybe he just hates me, which I don't blame. All right, let's see what we got going here. Let's see if we can hit the D today. Okay, not bad. It's a start of Proto Man. I don't know how the rest of it goes, but that was pretty good, right? Look out, Mega Man. I'm your brother, and I'm mysterious. I have a cape.
All right, I'm back. I'm gonna call somebody else.
All right, I'm done now. Now
give me somebody. Continue. Give me somebody while I'm waiting. All right. Yeah, sorry. No, my wife took my daughter to her appointment, and so I always have to be looking at the phone when that happens because she, like you, gets mad at me when I don't answer my phone.
Oh, you do. You do have an issue.
Yeah, I do have an issue. Yes. All right. Let's see. I think that did it for the super chats. Again, if anyone wants to send any more before the end of the show, we'll get to them. But Mike, I do believe that you have a topic for us this week.
Yes. Well, we've done our favorite NES games, Super Nintendo games this week. We're talking about our favorite Nintendo 64 games. Jeff and I are going to talk about ours, and we have the podcast producers. And if anybody in chat wants to tell us theirs, you can also send in a super chat for that. But Jeff, let me ask you first. You get the privilege, sir. My nose is so itchy, by the way. Oh, my God. Did you get hurt? Oh, no. Is your kid crying?
Yeah, she fell down the steps. Hang on.
The kid's crying. My nose is itchy. Oh, is a kid crying. Don't worry. I know what will cheer her up. Ooh, that was right. Oop, D. There it is. Let's watch this, watch this. What? No, no. Nah, that's, you did it better. There we go. There we go, a little crown crust. That was wrong. Play the Song of Storms. I don't know the Song of Storms. I really should. Did you have to amputate?
Yeah. She wasn't using that arm anyhow.
Yeah. Oh, shit. Oh, no. I'm knocking stuff over with my giant ass flute. Oh, crap. All right.
All right.
Why don't we just take that from the top again? The best of games. All right.